Agenda item number nine, which is offenders. Staff? First offender on my list is Mr. Jerry Ray. Mr. Ray present? Mr. Ray, would you please come forward? Mr. Ray, are you being represented by counsel today at all, by an attorney? Okay, please come forward. Yes, you can. Please, ma'am. If you're going to testify at all here, I'm going to need to swear you in as well. So, Officer Price and both of you, if you please raise your right hands, do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Let the record reflect, one, we have a quorum, and two, Mr. Ray is present. And his wife is present. Your name, ma'am?
Valerie Ray.
Valerie Ray. Mr. Cimino.
Mr. Ray first appeared before the commission as a natural resource offender during the February 2016 commission meeting. The commission decided to revoke his licenses and privileges under 28.2-232 for 2 years from February 23rd, 2016 through February 22nd, 2018, owing to 4 oyster convictions. This is Mr. Ray's second appearance. Was convicted on December 6, 2016 for 4 counts of engaging in Virginia's commercial fisheries while revoked.
Officer Price, what can you tell us about this case? What can you tell us about this case?
Sir, I'm going to start on February 23, 2016, when Mr. Ray came before the commission and the commission revoked his recreational commercial fishing privileges. For a period of 2 years to end February 22nd, 2018. Mr. Ray did file a motion to appeal his decision before the New Circuit Court, which was held on July 14, 2016. The New Pernew Circuit Court's Judge Fisher ruled in favor of the Virginia Marine Resource Commission Board and dismissed the appeal with prejudice. I would add that Mr. Ray did not file a motion for relief prior to that appeal, and therefore his fishing privileges were still revoked at that date.
His licenses as well.
His license, as I recall. Commercial, yep. Licenses were revoked.
All right.
Back in July 2016, Marine police officers received information that Mr. Ray was working on the fishing vessel Hustler, crabbing. On July 12, 2016, members of the SIU observed the fishing vessel Hustler arrive at Captain Harrell's dock at Messick Point, and they observed a defendant on the vessel, get off the vessel, and offload 5 crab barrels from the vessel onto the dock. They later observed Mr. Ray deliver bushels of crabs to Crazy Wings over in Norfolk. On July 15, 2016, members of the SIU again observed a fishing vessel Hustler arrive at Captain Harrell's located at Messick Point in Coastal Virginia. The defendant offloaded 7 barrels of crabs and then loaded 1 bushel of crabs into his personal vehicle. On July 18, 2016, SIU members observed fishing vessel Hustler arrive at Captain Harrell's dock in the city of Pocosin down at Messick Point, where the defendant again offloaded 7 barrels of crabs, and he was later observed putting 3 bushels of crabs into his personal vehicle. On August 4, 2016, SIU members again conducted surveillance and observed the fishing vessel Hustler arrive at Captain Harrell's dock and observed the defendant, Mr. Ray, again offloading 5 crab barrels onto the dock and later observed him putting 9 bushels of crabs into his captain's truck as well as 3 bushels onto the tailgate of the same truck. On that particular day, SIU lost track of Mr. Ray, but he was later picked up in his personal vehicle leaving the city of Pocosin, where he was followed to Old Bay Seafood in Norfolk, where he was observed carrying 3 bushels of crabs into the rear of the business. Once Mr. Ray came out, SIU made contact with him as he was leaving and conducted an interview with Mr. Ray. After Miranda, Mr. Ray stated he was buying bushels of crabs from from the captain of the Hustler for $30 each, and that he was reselling the crabs for $45. He stated he did not catch or assist in harvesting the crab and acknowledged that his commercial license was revoked and that it was unlawful for him to work. At that point, the defendant was released, and he had no knowledge of the prior offenses that I just described. He was released by SIU investigators. On August 11, 2016, SIU obtained magistrate summonses for four counts of engaging in Virginia commercial fisheries while revoked for the dates that I described, July 12, 2016, July 15, 2016, July 18, 2016, and August 4, 2016. And they also obtained magistrate summonses for four counts of no crabbing license, again for July 12, 2016, July 15, 2016, July 18, 2016, and August 4, 2016. On August 16, 2016, members of the SIU and Coastal Police Department stopped Mr. Ray and served the eighth summonses on him. Again, after Miranda, he was interviewed by members of the SIU, and I'm just going to go over a few of the statements that he made during this interview. Investigators asked Ray about the crabs that he was in possession of when he previously questioned by Captain Croft at Old Bay Seafood in Norfolk. Investigators tell Ray he had been observed and documented taking the crabs from the Hustler and then placing those crabs into his truck where they are transported to the market for sale. The investigators then tell Ray he had been documented along with other people aboard the fishing vessel Hustler engaged in activities associated with the working crew member of that vessel. Investigators asked Ray what type of agreement he had with the captain had established for Ray to work on the boat. Mr. Ray responded, "He was giving me 3 bushels a day." The investigators asked Ray if this was payment for working on the boat, and Ray responded yes. Investigators asked Ray what he was normally delivering to the seafood markets and sold to, and Ray responded 3 bushels, but not every day. Investigators tells Ray that he's only interested in the actual deliveries he made to seafood markets, and if 3 bushels a day is what he delivers, and Mr. Ray responded, right, 3 bushels. Investigators asked Ray if the captain ever paid him in cash, and Mr. Ray responded, no, just in crabs. Investigators asked Ray what all establishment he was selling to, and Ray tells investigators that he was selling there, referring to Old Bay Seafood and Ocean Blue Seafood in Norfolk, Virginia. Ray then tells investigators that he would sell to one establishment a couple days a week and the other establishment on the other days. Investigators asked Ray if every sale he was making from the 3 bushels of crabs he received as payment for working aboard the vessel, and Ray responded, right. That's just kind of a summary of what happened on the interview. On December 6, 2016, this case came before the York County General District Court. He was represented by Polly Chong. Mr. Ray entered into a plea agreement and pled guilty, the four counts of crabbing without a license were null prost, and the four counts of engaging in Virginia commercial fisheries while revoked, he pled guilty. He pled guilty to the July 12, 2016 offense. He was fined $35 with a court cost of $86. On July 15, 2016, engaged in Virginia commercial fishery while revoked, he pled guilty with a fine of $35 and a court cost of $86. For the July 18, 2016 offense, he pled guilty to engaging in Virginia commercial fisheries after revoked. He was fined $100 with a court cost of $206. But on that account, he also received 30 days in jail with all 30 days suspended for good behavior for a period of 2 years. For the August 4, 2016 transaction or observation, he pled guilty to engaging in Virginia commercial fishery after revoked. Was fined $100 with a court cost of $231. Dollars on that case. I would note that back on the July 15th date, that was the very next day after the circuit court in Newport News advised him that his license was still revoked. So there were 3 offense dates after that circuit court hearing where he continued to work after going before the Newport News circuit court judge.
Are there questions from the commission, the officer? Mr. Zedra.
Do you have the copies of the summonses before you?
I do.
Can you look at the disposition page, which is the second page? My copy says the defendant pled nolo contendere, not guilty. And didn't say guilty. You said he pled guilty. My record shows he pled nolo contendere. What does your record show?
On the July, what date are you going to? July?
All of them.
July.
You know, on this, on the.
Oh, I see it right here.
The part that the judge fills out. You see it?
I do. My understanding from the investigators that it was a plea agreement that he pled.
Okay, well, let me ask you, what is your.
I understand what it says here.
What does it say?
It says that he was tried and found guilty as charged.
You see the paragraph that says plea of accused?
I do.
What does it say?
No contende, and then it says, I'm assuming stop. I don't know, stop something.
But sufficiency of evidence.
Stop.
Stated the sufficiency of it.
Is that what it is?
I would think. Is that true for each of those four convictions that he has?
Say that, I don't understand your question on me.
For the rest of the convictions?
Yes, they're all the same.
Okay, no low contender, please, right?
Correct.
All right, thank you. I got one further question. Did he appeal those convictions? Did he appeal those convictions?
He did not appeal the convictions, only the decision of the commission.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Ballard.
Can you go over again? I think it states in here you have video evidence. Was there ever any evidence of him actually on the boat coming into the dock or on the water?
Each day he was on the
boat. While the boat was at the dock?
He was on the boat as it came to the dock.
Okay.
He was observed on the boat. He was observed like up and tie up the boat. And then he was observed taking crabs off the boat and putting them onto the dock. And then once they would do that, then he would go get his truck or the captain's truck, and they would pull over to the dock. And then that's where they would offload the bushel crabs at a separate location.
Okay.
Mr. Zeger.
Where is that video?
I have a copy of it.
Can you make it part of the record, please?
The video evidence.
Would you like them to play it?
No, you can just make it part of the record.
Okay. Please bring it forward. This will be kept on file there as part of the record. Other questions from the commission? Mr. Tanker.
When you approached him the final time, did he seem to understand that he was doing each occasion something he wasn't supposed to be doing, or was he seeing?
I was not present.
Uh-huh.
It was members of our SIU division.
Right, that's right.
On that last date, I was not present.
Okay. Let the record reflect that the reference to SIU is the Virginia Marine Police Special Investigative Unit.
Right.
Any other questions of the officer? Mr. Ray. Please step in front of the microphone. Thank you, Officer Price. If you like, you can ask questions of the officer or the staff, but I think the main question the board has is what happened here.
I've got a family, you know, and it was the way that, you know, Captain of the Hustler come and asked me. He had chemo, you know, once a month, and he just wanted me to ride out on the boat just, you know, keep an eye on him. I mean, he got, you know, chemotherapy takes a toll on him. I was just riding out there. I mean, I was just helping the guy out. I mean, I didn't go out there to engage in fishery. I was just helping him out. I mean, I didn't go out there shaking crab pots. I didn't go out there calling crabs. I was just standing out there to observe him, just to make sure everything was fine with him. You know, what I did, I didn't know. I mean, I was allowed to go out on the boat. I knew I wasn't supposed to engage in other fisheries. I mean, I was under the assumption that I could take crabs and deliver crabs for him. And that's all I've done. I mean, I've got a family. I've got a house payment. And 26 years working on a boat, I mean, it's kind of hard to adapt to work an hourly job. And he was paying me to work on crab pots. I wasn't going out there with him every day. I was working on his crab pots 3 days a week. And a couple of days a week, that I rode with, and he'd give me three bushels to sell for payment. You know, I mean, it wasn't every day.
Who else was on board?
He had a deckhand on board. You know, other than, you know, I wasn't a deckhand. I was just out there just to give him support on if something happened.
Questions from the commission. Mr. Zedron.
You were here when your license was revoked, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And what did you understand that to mean?
To be revoked. I mean, not to be able to put crab, you know, any kind of seafood in my name, not to be able to, I didn't need a license to, you know, to be a deckhand, but I wasn't a deckhand. I just needed it. Just trying to help them out.
Well, would you agree that the 3 bushels of crabs that you took from him, you said he gave them to you to sell them, right?
Yes, sir.
And you sold them, right?
Yeah.
And you kept the money, right?
Yeah. I mean, that was just payment of how he paid me, you know.
Right. And do you understand and agree that that was a violation of your revocation?
I didn't know that. I mean, I do now.
So you don't think selling crabs and putting the money in your pocket was engaging in commercial sales?
I didn't at the time, no.
Okay, thank you.
And right now, I've got a job, you know, and everything's going good right now, you know. I mean, I know I'll face five more years, but I don't need the maximum penalty. I mean, I've done it for 26 years. The last 6 months, I'm working a tree job, and everything's good right now.
Are there other questions from the commission? Mr. Tanker.
I don't know if I understand. What do you mean everything's good now? Are you saying that you don't really need to be on the water any longer?
I love the water. I mean, I grew up working the water. I mean, it's something I've done for 26 years, but I'm starting to adapt to working an hourly job. You know, I mean, ain't nothing compares to what I did, you know, working the water, but, you know, you just find other ways to adapt. You know, I'm struggling. You know, my house in foreclosure. I mean, just, you know, it can get better. I mean, it's hard to adapt.
So are there other questions from the commission? Mrs. Ray, you wanted to address to the commission here. Please step in front of the microphone.
Hello, how are you? My name's Valerie. I'm Jerry's wife. We've been together since we were both 16 years old. He's a good person. He's the love of my life. We have a letter from his lawyer stating that he could haul crabs. The being on the boat and all that, I don't know about all that. But I have a letter from his boss stating that he has a job, just in case. And, of course, I'm a very private person, so being in here and speaking in front of a group, I'm not a group speaker. You can hear my voice going up and down. I have the we're doing Chapter 13 bankruptcy because of our house foreclosed. And, I mean, he's the best person. I don't know if what I'm saying is going to make a difference in what anybody feels or – hang on. I don't know. But I do know after working the water for 26 years when he had gotten in trouble – and being revoked and not being able to be out there, it was adjustment for all of us. And I agree with laws. I've never gotten in trouble a day in my life. I've gotten 2 speeding tickets. I mean, he's a pain sometimes, but he's my pain. I don't know. I wrote down some notes. And if anybody wants to see where he has a job, his boss did write that. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I told you about the foreclosure and the bankruptcy, and we don't want the maximum penalty. It seems like whenever a waterman comes in here, they're always ending up with the maximum penalty. Maybe not. I mean, I don't know. And I know on the letter it said 5 years and a civil penalty, and a civil penalty right now would cripple us. It would. We're filing bankruptcy. No one is out of it. And then on another note, like he said, we are regaining. We're building something. He has a job, like I've stated three times, and we're doing better. And there's worse things, and I was thinking about yesterday coming in here and everything I was going to say to you and so much anger. And then with the Tangier Waterman being lost, none of that matters. I mean, I have my husband here. You know, that family doesn't. So I think that's all I needed to say. I don't know if you have any questions or anything.
Mr. Cedric.
Does the attorney letter, you said it says that he can haul crabs.
Right. Yes, and I don't have that with me today. Lisa Carol Rose has that because she was looking over his case, and I didn't get the information back from her for this meeting.
Does the letter say that he can sell crabs?
I don't know. I don't think it. I don't know. I know it said haul crabs. It might not have said sell crabs.
And you said something about the, let me ask you this, how much money would you say that your husband received from the sales of these crabs on these four instances?
To tell you the truth, I'm not quite for sure. I know that it was three bushels of crabs. I'm going to say probably $40 a bushel. I don't know. Before he had gotten trouble in all this, I never paid attention to anything that the waterman did. Now I'm glued. I mean, I've listened to so many VMRC audios over the last 3 months. I mean, knowledge is power.
You made a statement that the watermen here get the maximum penalty all the time from
in
the commission.
In my opinion.
Have you listened to any of the tapes been present where the commission has given people probation?
I have. Watermen? Yes, I have. I listened to one where the guy had the coal rings not done right from Gloucester living in a hotel. I felt so bad for him, too.
So would your statement be incorrect as to the fact that the watermen get the maximum sentence here?
I guess it was an overall statement that I probably shouldn't have made, but it was probably how I felt.
Do you think it's fair to allow your husband to engage in the fishery after he's been revoked? Do you think it's fair to the other watermen?
You know what? I don't, and I don't. I'm a law abider. I mean, he is too. People mess up. He messed up.
Thank you.
He messed up.
Mrs. Cullen.
I have a question for law enforcement.
5 days of jail, too.
Just curious, is the three bushels of crabs that he was taking or given, did that put them over the limit? I don't know what the license holder, what pot license they had.
No, ma'am. There was no indication that they were over the limit.
Thank you.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
A question to the officer as well. During your surveillance or the video with the SIU, how many people were on the vessel?
Three.
Three total?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Captain and then another unidentified gentleman.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Cimino. What are the matrix guidelines call for and or suggest in this particular case?
Right. Well, Commissioner, the guidelines themselves would the recommendation would be that person under revocation that has a repeat offense would just be before the commission. So what I'll do is I'll read in into the record what's allowed under 28.2-232.
Please go forward.
All right. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, all of Mr. Ray's commission-issued licenses may be revoked for a period of 5 years from the date of this commission meeting, April 25th, 2017 through April 24th, 2022. The commission may also prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Ray's licenses during the revocation period. Code of Virginia also allows the commission to revoke Mr. Ray's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 5 years and to take discretionary action concerning the potential for a civil penalty.
Mr. Ray. What the guidelines suggest, the commission can deviate below this. The board makes its own decisions on this. what I haven't heard from you yet is something I'm going to give you the chance to answer truthfully, honestly, and truthfully. Is this ever going to happen again? I think you got to sell us on that.
It's not going to happen again. I mean, I'm doing a job right now that I like, you know, and I'm making it work until my license are reinstated. You know, I mean, I like what I'm doing. It's an outside job, and I mean, I love it. And I haven't been around a while. I ain't even been near a boat for the last 7 months. I mean, I don't even talk to watermen right now just because it gets me that, you know, I don't care.
Please.
And he has been asked several times to go back out on a boat since the last time, and the answer has been no. And it doesn't matter who asked or whatever, but he has been asked, and he's been no. And I can guarantee you he is not going to go back on a boat. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I've even been asked to work on draft houses.
The correct answer to that question was yes, dear. Well, the matter is before the commission. Mr. Zedra.
What concerns me is the fact, and I believe the officer testified, that after he went to circuit court and lost his appeal and was told by the circuit court judge that your license is still revoked, he goes out and continues the wrongdoing. That's proof in the pudding right there. It is that and the statement he made, look, I got a family. It's sort of like somebody that is got some kind of activities not authorized to do, and the judges say you can't do it, but he's going to do it anyhow because he feels that he's justified because he has a family to do that. The other thing I think we need to be concerned with here is the fact that, you know, we send the message every time we make a ruling here out to the watermen, and if we're not going to, you know, put some teeth in there. This person comes in here in revocation. He's got four convictions. You know, he was able to work a deal with the prosecutor. He had four other charges that appeared that may have been valid as well. You know, I don't think the staff recommendation is far from where we ought to be. That's just my opinion.
Mr. Tacker.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, you know, when you've had your license revoked, I think you have a pretty good sense that you've done something wrong, and if you want to at some point get your license back, you need to keep your nose clean. So it's his decision. It wasn't our decision. I don't think we put him in any kind of compromising position. I don't think that the officers put him in a compromising position. I just think they did their job, and he's having to live with the ramifications of his actions.
Mr. Ballard.
I tend to agree. I think there was a little bit of noise and confusion surrounding the selling of crabs, and I became convinced when I heard the testimony that he was actually on the boat. And at some point, we have to determine, is someone serving a crab cake sandwich violating the fishery law versus selling crabs? But when someone's actually engaging on a boat with three people that's harvesting crabs, I think it's pretty clear he was engaging in the fishery. And I agree, we need to be somewhat near the staff recommendation.
One thing that jumped out at me was the officer's testimony. The evidence led to the convictions here. The harvest that day was a significant quantity, 7 barrels of crabs, and a lot of crabs. I'm kind of hard-pressed to imagine that it was just handled by the captain and a crewmate. But I'm willing to accept that you did not participate in the actual loading of the crabs or the emptying of the crab pots or the culling. That said, I'll tell you where I'm standing here is that I'm not completely convinced that Mr. Ray has learned his lesson and that a revocation means a revocation and that we don't enter into these decisions lightly or cavalierly, but I'm willing to go lower than 5 years. I don't know how the rest of the board feels. As for the civil penalty, my inclination is to waive the civil penalty, where the simple reason is that the Rays are in enough difficult times as it is. I think the loss of a license for any further duration here is sufficient penalty in this particular regard. That's my own personal feeling. Mr. Cedra.
You know, when I was sitting on the bench one day in Chesapeake, and Battlefield Boulevard was a two-lane road instead of a bypass like it is today, people used to go to Nag's Head, and the farmers used to grow corn there. And the people who were going on vacation thought that that was a free market. And they would stop and get a couple bags of corn so that they could cook them when they got to Nag's Head. And that went on for years till they almost wiped the farmers out because the word spread. And so when I'm sitting on the bench one day and I listen to that and I listen to the farmers talk about, you know, how they couldn't protect their crops, I decided that what the appropriate sentence was some measure that would keep somebody from even thinking about taking a cob of corn. And so what I did was impose a fine of $100 a year. And believe it or not, within 2 or 3 years, there were no more corn taken. So the word got out. And the point of this discussion is this, is that I agree with what you're saying about the revocation, but I think we need to take that civil penalty and say, look, we're going to put some penalties on these things. And what that's why I asked about the money. $40 a bushel, 3 bushels a day, it was $480, okay? And then, I mean, $120, and then with 4 events, it was $480. So what I propose is, in addition to whatever the revocation is, that we impose a fine of 4 times that amount, which totals $1,920, which sends the message to the guy out there, look, if I'm going to take these crabs and get caught, it's not financially wise. And that's where I'm coming from, and I'd like to hear what the others think on the board here.
Anyone have a thought? Mr. Tankard?
Yes, well, I think that the vacationers and going to Nag's Head certainly could afford the $100. I suspect if they could rent a cabin or house in Nag's Head. It seems to me Mr. Ray probably doesn't have the fair financial wherewithal to probably pay this fee. I would have a tendency to continue on without a civil penalty, but I see what you're saying. I don't disregard what you're saying at all. It seems as though I am surprised that a person who's got his license revoked, who has a house, has a family, has responsibilities, would take such a chance. Doesn't compute for me. I don't really get it. But I don't know if the civil penalty is the answer in this case. That's just my thought.
Further discussion? Mr. Neal?
You know, we revoked his license. Any person would understand, and his fishing privileges, that he's not supposed to be out in the water. Did it anyway. And so I guess the 5-year revocation is where I would go. I would not go lesser. I mean, we've already revoked his license for 2 years. He already had lesser and failed. And so I would do the maximum. And as far as his money, it's, you get this, Dad, you say he's trying to get blood from a turnip kind of thing. And that's kind of where we are. So that would be what I would do. I would revoke his license for 5 years and with no civil penalty.
Could make it a motion.
Make it a motion. All right. I've been instructed to make that a motion. That's my motion, is to revoke the license for 5 years with no civil penalty.
Second. Motion by Mr. Neal, second by Mr. Zedron, is for a 5-year period of revocation of licenses
and fishing privileges
and title fishing privileges with no civil penalty. Discussion on the motion, the proper second. We'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes no. The motion passes 8-0.
Eight to one.
Excuse me. Need to count myself. Thank you. Mr. Ray, if you go with the officer, he'll give you a letter here that will explain your appeal rights. This is a period of revocation of licenses and fishing privileges for 5 years effective today. Is Mr. James Carmen in the room? And represented by counsel? Please come forward, gentlemen. Mr. Carmen, I need to swear you in. I don't need the swearing counsel. Please raise your right hand. Officer Fitchett as well. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. Please let the record reflect that Mr. James Carmen is present in the room and is represented by counsel. Counsel, could we have your name too, please?
Yes, sir. Robert Moorcock.
My name is Robert Moorcock.
Thank you, Mr. Moorcock.
Thank you.
Mr. Smita.
Mr. James M. Carmen, commercial fisherman registration licensee, was convicted on November 10th, 2016 for one count of non-resident catch in the Commonwealth for market or profit.
Officer Fitchett, what can you tell us about this case?
Good afternoon, Officer Fitchett. This offense occurred on December 8th, 2015, near Saxes. Virginia, Maryland line. This is an ongoing problem we have with the Marylander oyster dredgers coming into Virginia, dredging our waters. On this date, around 09 in the morning, me and another officer, Officer Ellis, left out of Pitts Creek, Accomack County, and we started heading to this area. The sun would have been behind us. We were in an unmarked boat. We noticed... We identified his boat. We called it the dirty boat because it's a little bit yellower than the other boats. We actually lined up the line markers on the Virginia Maryland line to separate the line, and we could tell this boat was going into Virginia waters. It appeared that he was oyster dredging. We took the binoculars out, started watching him, and you could clearly see him pull the dredge, empty the dredge, put the dredge back in the water, and continue working. We didn't decide to approach the boat. Mr. Carmen was the owner-operator at the time. He had several pieces of bushels of oysters on the boat at the time we approached him. He was a little upset when we first got there. Then he cooled down, and he's been fine ever since. We also able to obtain a lat long of that area. Paul Rogers, the surveying officer of the Eastern Shore, ran those, and I believe it was close to 1,500 foot in the Virginia. Where Carmen was. I asked Mr. Carmen, did he have a chart plotter? He stated yes. I asked him, could I see it? Got on the boat, and you could see there was some lines that had gone into Virginia. on the court date, he made a plea. He pled guilty to the misdemeanor, the 28.2634, if we would drop the felony. That's all I have, if anybody has any.
Questions from the commission? Thank you, Officer Fitchett. Counselor.
May I, do I have an opportunity to ask Officer Fitchett any questions?
Absolutely.
Can I ask him just a couple questions?
Sure. Would you please both approach the microphone? This is audio taped here.
Yes, sir. Officer Fitchett, you actually saw the dirty boat come in to cross the Virginia border.
Yes, sir.
Correct. Do you remember where Mr. Carmen was on the boat at that point? Was he working the boat, or was he sitting in the behind?
He was working the boat.
With one other individual?
He had deckhand, yes, sir.
All right, and that's a recollection as he came into Virginia water?
It would be when he was in Virginia and going back in Maryland, too.
Do you recall the weather?
Yes, I do. The weather was actually decent that day. I have clear We had incoming tide, and I have calm. Because once I stopped Mr. Carmen, we started drifting into Maryland.
Into Maryland, not Virginia?
No, we started drifting into Maryland. That's why he wasn't placed under arrest that day.
All right, so the most, the farthest he got into Virginia, did you say 1,500 feet?
According to the Latin law, yes, sir.
And was that, was he farther into Virginia when you first saw him, or farther into Virginia when you finally looked up the, did the lat long or else looked up on the GPS? Which way was he moving after you stopped it and boarded?
He normally works in a circle.
Okay.
And we stopped, when we stopped, we approached the vessel and stopped the vessel. He drifted back into Maryland. So he would have been further away from Virginia.
All right, I understand what you said about that. You mentioned it to the panel that this was an ongoing problem. It's not been an ongoing problem with this gentleman.
No, sir.
Okay. And are you familiar with his record? Such as it is on the screen?
I wasn't until recently.
All right. Can you take a look or use what you did when you reviewed the materials? Everything else he's ever had, which goes back a considerable way, was a crab violation, crab-related violation. Is that correct? I'm sorry. All right.
It appears to be.
Okay. And you said that he's been fined since. You don't know of any other violations he's had. You just see him.
I'm not aware of any.
You just see him.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I don't have any other questions.
Okay. Officer Fitch, one quick question here. When the latitudes and longitudes were checked, he was somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500 feet.
Yes, sir.
In Virginia waters.
Virginia, yes, sir.
And his vessel, when stopped, was moving towards Maryland waters, so it wasn't blown into Virginia waters.
No, sir, it was moving. Once we stopped and once I got on Mr. Carmen's vessel, we were drifting into Maryland.
Okay, 1,500 feet is around the quarter mile. Is that not correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Tankard?
I have one question. At the end of his write-up here, he mentions Mr. Carmen's dredge was in the water and we watched him pull it up out of water. Mr. Carmen also wanted to know what would happen if he just did a guilty plea. And you stated, I don't know, that's up to a judge. So when he asked if he could just do a guilty plea, this was while you were on the boat when you first met him, you first engaged with him?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, so he wasn't contesting then that he was in Virginia, is that...
At that time, no, he didn't. He asked me what would happen if he had just pled guilty in court, and I said, that's up to the judge. I could tell him that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Counselor, feel free. I knew you were getting there.
Officer, I want to make sure that you got on the boat. The first thing he didn't say was, can I just plead guilty?
No, this would have been later on in the conversation.
Later on.
Yes, sir.
After it was obvious that you'd shown him the line, and he didn't fuss about that once you showed him, did he?
What do you mean showed him the line?
Well, when you all, wasn't he part of the process when you met, when you got the lat line? Didn't he get, have a chance to watch you do that or listen to you tell him that's what you just saw? Didn't you say we just witnessed,
because the buoys were pretty close to where he was working, the Virginia Maryland line buoys were pretty close to where he was working.
Okay, so it was after you had engaged him, and as you say, he calmed down and wasn't a problem, and you saw what was on the boat and everything else, that's when he said, what if I just plead guilty?
Yes, sir, it was later on into the conversation.
And I didn't understand, I like to eat oysters, but I don't know much about harvesting them. Can you tell me... how many bushels of oysters you saw on that boat in
he
total?
He had several of the orange fish baskets, which is commonly used by the guys, Arstrand, and he had several on the floor, which had, I don't know if any of them had a quarter of a basket, so maybe, you know, pieces of basket.
What would you estimate bushels is what I understand. Can you tell me how many bushels of oysters he had that you saw?
If it was total, maybe one, if that many.
Okay. All right. Did you ever talk to the crew member?
No.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Mr. Tackett.
I just want a follow-up question. So you mentioned buoys that delineate the state line.
Yes, sir.
So they were very obvious on the clear, calm day.
Yes, sir. The buoys were obvious. We were, Beller Officer and myself, when we first arrived on scene, we were probably... a good mile and a half from this boat, and we could line the buoys up, no doubts in our mind. And that's when we looked through binoculars, and you could clearly see him coming into Virginia waters. Also, I forgot to mention, a lot of the guys, we use different objects as markers to work around, to drudge around. He had an orange ball, and once we approached him, he hooked the orange ball with his drudge, and that's when he moved into, pulled the ball back into Maryland waters.
Always one more.
Doc, that's fine.
He was working, though, as you approached the boat.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Erskine.
I got a question for the officer. How frequently do you patrol the area?
This area
in particular?
This past year, hardly any, but years prior to that, quite often.
So you're familiar with the area?
Yes, sir. Actually, years and years ago, I used to be a clam drudger, which is pretty familiar with this, so that's why they sent me out there. I've got a lot of experience dealing with it.
Let me ask a follow-up to Mr. Erskine's. Well, you may not have been out there personally here for a while. Here, that area is patrolled by the Marine Police regularly. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, we have somebody up there doing oyster season pretty much every day because this is, again, an ongoing problem.
Thank you.
Mr. Ballard.
And is this, so I take it this is around the Tangier-Saxis area. So this is one of the rocks that we heard from the watermen that's been depleted pretty heavily.
Right, not near Tangier, but off of Saxis.
Okay. So
in between Saxis and Maryland.
Yeah. Other questions from the commission? Counselor, do you want your client to testify?
I would, please.
Would you like that to do that now, or do you want to hear the staff's analysis / matrix guidelines on what the sanction would be?
I've seen the posted conclusion of what the guidelines.
The guidelines are just guidelines for the commission, but it's to orient the commission and keep in mind what previous precedents have been. You want to wait, Mr. Cimino?
Yes. The commission's matrix of guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of a non-Virginia resident harvesting oysters in Virginia waters within a 12-month period should result in at least a 2-year revocation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, the matrix guidelines suggest to the commission to revoke all Mr. Carman's commission-issued licenses for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, April 25, 2017, through April 24, 2019. The Code of Virginia also allows that the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Carman's licenses during this revocation period. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, the commission may revoke Mr. Carman's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, April 25, 2017, through April 24, 2019.
Ms. Moorcock, you want to have your client address the commission? Is that what you'd like?
Yes,
sure, that sounds fine.
Can I ask you just a couple of questions?
Absolutely.
You are James Carman?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Carman, how long have you been a waterman?
Approximately 45 years.
All right. And you have how many boats?
Two.
And do you have a regular group that you call your crew that helps you with those, run those two boats?
Yes, sir.
All right. How many people?
Four, most of the time.
Okay. And who do you support? Are you married? Do you have a family?
I'm single, but I support my mother at 82 years old. She needs care just about around the clock.
All right. And who else has come into your care?
My brother. He just was diagnosed with lung and brain cancer right before Christmas, a few days.
Was he a waterman, too?
He was a waterman.
Okay.
And I took his son under my wing now and helping him, you know, continuing. He's a little bit slow, but he's always depended on my brother.
How old is this boy?
He's 30.
Okay.
And I've took him under my wing and trying to help him out so they have some kind of income while my brother's sick. So.
All right. And that's a rather recent development.
Yes, that was this Christmas.
And the issue that Officer Fitchett is talking about, that the occasion took place in 2015.
That was December of 2015.
You went to court sometime later in 2016.
Right.
All right.
Well, November.
You certainly remember this day.
Sure.
Okay. And you were working, I know you don't call it the dirty boat, but it has numbers. And you were working, it doesn't have a name.
No.
Okay.
It has numbers.
You were working with one member of your crew?
Yes.
All right. How did you end up in Virginia waters?
Well, it was an accident, really. I mean, I had been sick with heart problems for 3 months, and I just went back.
How long have you been back on the water?
About a few days, 3 or 4 days at most.
All right, when we were chatting, I think you told me, only because it stuck with me, that you were rusty.
Yep.
What's that mean?
Well, I hadn't been running the boat for 3 months, and it was windy this morning. It was 15, 20 knots. No, that's established with the Commonwealth Attorney.
Water or no water? You just tell us how you ended up in Virginia. You were working the boat.
Yeah.
Okay. What happened?
Well, I guess I wasn't paying no attention. I was just getting over being ill, and I was calling harvesters, and I wasn't paying no attention. And I guess one of the circles got wide, one or two of them, and I went over the line a little bit.
All right.
Certainly didn't mean to.
All right. You've never had another citation for oystering, have you?
No.
All right. And oystering been part of your entire occupational description for all those 40 years?
All my life, yeah.
All right. And you live in Chrisfield?
Yes, sir.
Are you more familiar now than you were in 2015 with the operational necessity of a GPS system?
Yeah, pretty much now.
Was it kind of new to you back in 2015?
Yeah, I'd only had it about 3 or 4 months, 6 months at the most.
All right, and there's been some reference made to some buoys or some markers that were out there. Were you aware of those?
Yeah, I know where they're at. Yeah. Right.
And
pretty much so.
Do you, as watermen, know intuitively from time to time where the lines are? I mean, do you sort of have a feel for where that border was?
Pretty much so, but I mean, sometime and after ice, they move and stuff, and they get them straightened out after a while. But
and you were apparently at worst 1,500 feet in. 1,500 feet doesn't mean much to me. I think about football fields. How big is this boat?
32 foot.
Okay. Do you know, can you estimate for the panel how long you would have been that far in? What period of time? They saw you cross the line.
No, it was in a circle, and I just, the GPS showed it wasn't nowhere near that far. I mean, it's on record. It's the pictures of it. It shows the GPS, and it shows they call them the snail trails, the red snail trails. And they actually show, where I went over the line just a little bit in a circle. And they are in the record. I mean, we've seen them, so.
All right. Well, you pled guilty in court.
Yes.
You had counsel.
Yeah.
All right. And you haven't had any violations since?
No.
Okay. And you actually wrote some remarks you wanted to make.
I
don't know if this is the appropriate time or if the panel wants to.
It's fine. I'm quite lenient. I want to make sure the commission has all the information to make an informed decision.
Well, I just want to say that I've been on the water. I started with my dad when I was 11 years old running the boat. And that's 45 consecutive years this year will be. And it's my only way to make a living. And, I respect the conservation laws highly. And because they're important to me as a waterman, probably more important to me as a waterman than anybody. And because, if the resource ain't there, then we don't have a job, just simple as that. And everybody in my community knows I fight for that. I don't breaking laws and taking illegal crabs or oysters or nothing else. Never have been. But I made a mistake that day, and it was because I wasn't paying attention like I should be. And, I'm sorry about it. I really am. I wished it hadn't happened, and it surely won't happen no more. I've been very careful. I've stayed during oyster season, I've stayed a long ways away from the Maryland-Virginia line. So it won't be no mistake happening. But it can be, particular oyster rock is shared with Maryland and Virginia. It's one continuous rock, and it's a tedious place to work, and you need to pay attention when you're there. But that morning, I was just, getting started back, and I guess I wasn't paying no attention. I had my head down, and I got over the line a little bit. I certainly didn't intentionally do it, because up to that point, I was catching my limit in Maryland, and my oyster record showed that I was catching my limit in 3 to 5 hours, so I really had no purpose in trying to harvest no Virginia oysters. It was plenty on the Maryland side.
You didn't have that many on the boat, did you?
No, it just started. I hadn't been there but maybe 15, 20 minutes, half hour at most.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
I just had a question, sir. prior to this incident in December 2015, how frequently would you harvest oysters from the Maryland side at this particular harvest area?
Probably a couple years. Not in that exact area, but it's a lot of different rocks all in Pocomoke Sound. And there's only two or three rocks that share Virginia and Maryland that are a continuous oyster rock. I guess they were They've been there a long time, probably back since the 1800s, and the line divides them, not equally, but some of them equally and some not, but that's just the way they were playing it years ago, probably long, long before our time.
So as a follow-up, just to be clear, prior to this incident, you had fished the area and were familiar with the area?
Oh, probably a few times in the past, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Be truthful about it.
Mr. Tackert?
So you said you mentioned you had your head down. Were you driving the boat or were you culling the oysters?
I was driving the boat in the aft part of the boat, not in the cabin.
Okay.
Where the GPS was all. If I was just driving the boat, I could have, eventually that's what I did when I got another mate. So if I had to work in a close area from now on, I got right in the cabin and watched the GPS steadily so I didn't go over the line. But it's a very tight area to work. Virginia Waterman works there too at times.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions from the commission? Officer Fitchett, I have a question for you. Kind of for the record and make sure that we all understand the details. How many times did you see Mr. Corman, his vessel, cross the border, cross the line?
Several. Four, five, six, somewhere like that.
In the course of his circular dredging operation?
As we were watching him through the binoculars from a distance.
Okay.
As we were approaching, probably several more times. I don't know.
And this was in the course of his circular driving to conduct the dredging. I just want to make sure that we're all clear on Mr. Tackert.
So if you went out of Pitch Creek, you were in a pretty shallow draft boat. You wouldn't want to be out in the open bay.
We were
in ugly conditions.
21-foot tall water skiff at the time, but the weather was decent that day. It was decent.
Okay. So there's really, looking at that line, that wasn't a hard thing to do then. It wasn't like you were being tossed around and.
No, sir.
No,
sir.
Okay.
Ms. Moorcock, you look like you have questions.
Sort of set me up. I have to ask. Officer Fitch, at the times, if it was five or six times you saw him, as the question was put to you, crossing to Virginia, that means before that he crossed into Virginia, he was in Maryland border, correct?
Sometimes half of his, I'll call, lick, circle, he would go into Maryland, into Virginia. And then a few times he was all in Virginia.
Okay.
But he had a ball there, an orange, you can say, used for gill nets, or that was his marker at the time, that was in Virginia waters. Because as he saw us, when he realized who we were, we approached him, he hooked the ball with his dredge and then moved that back into Maryland. And then after we got to Lat Long, that's when I approached Mr. Carman, got on his boat, and we were slowly drifting back into Maryland.
And again, his total affect with you by the time the afternoon was over was that he was cooperative.
Oh, he's been very, very easy to deal with.
Okay, thank you.
I got a question.
Mr. Zetra.
Ask the officer. You said that this ball, he hooked it with his dredge and then put it back into Maryland. So
yes,
was that ball, like, right on the line?
It was more in Virginia. It was in Virginia waters when he hooked it. Then he moved it into Maryland. This is
how much of a move are we talking about?
20 feet, maybe.
And he was going around that ball?
Going around, sir. Yes, sir. They use that to mark an area.
Is that line a straight line?
In that area, yes. It's if you're coming out of Pitts Creek, before this area kind of makes a little bend, then it's straight, and then it makes a bend back, say, towards, like, Fox's Island, that area. But this area was straight. The markers lined up straight.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Ballard.
Question for Mr. Carman. As a Maryland resident, how would the guidelines of a two-year revocation of your fishing privileges in the state of Virginia affect you? What Virginia fisheries do you participate in?
Oh, just crabs, mostly, and a little bit of fish sometimes. But it's probably 99% crabs.
Okay.
That's pretty much my living, and it's probably 80% of my income.
Okay.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Moorcock, you want to? You can ask, or you can sum up, or you can do both.
I just want to ask him about that ball.
Yep.
Since it's come up, tell us about the
Arm. Most of the time, we use those type of buoys to mark a good spot, a hot spot. But in this particular day, it was blowing some, and it was blowing towards the it's documented that the Commonwealth's attorney.
Well, that's who said that.
Yeah, but anyhow, it's documented, and the tide was going out. But the buoy has a long rope on it, sometime maybe 10, 15 foot longer than the actual depth of water. And we use the mark. But I put it there to try to make sure, because I was a ways away from the Maryland-Virginia line, to try to make sure I didn't get, you know, over the line. And
the implication seems to be
that I hooked it. Yeah, and that happens. That no, I did not do it on purpose. It was absolutely an accident. When he come up there to me and approached me and all, he told me stop the boat. And as I was turning to stop the boat, I hooked into it. And it happens a lot. You do hook into it. You don't make your judgment just right. Your drudge tooth, the end of your drudge, to catch the weight that holds the buoy down. And the weight is not exactly where the buoy is at because the rope's longer. And that's how I hooked it and drug it. And I guess it probably looked like I was doing it intentionally. Okay. But I really didn't mean to do it. Honestly, I didn't mean to do it. I mean, it just happened. It happens quite frequently with everybody sometimes. If you're not paying it good attention, it'll happen. But I surely didn't do it intentionally. All
right. Mr. Erskine.
I just had a question of counsel or Mr. Carman. As a Maryland waterman, do you know what the penalty would be if a Virginia waterman had been in Maryland waters harvesting oysters?
I would probably say it might be the same. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But, you know, I've not actually read it, but I'm sure it's close.
Okay.
I mean, both states, they do stuff different, but
I don't know. I was just asking.
No, yeah. No idea for me.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Moorcock, do you want to summarize? Before I let the board decide?
I will. Thank you very much. The only analogy I could think of to say at this point to you all is a bad analogy, but I'll use it anyway because I couldn't think of another one, and that is I feel like a fish out of water. This is the first time I've ever appeared from the commission, and I really appreciate the opportunity. I have some familiar faces, but not as many as I do when I go to court all over the state, when I know exactly what's going to happen, sort of, and what's going to go on. This is all new to me, and it's really been interesting. And I say that to preface the fact that I used to deal with really nice people, but they're charged with criminal behavior. It's always about intent, whether it's a murder or cocaine or heroin. Unfortunately, we see a lot of now. But from the minute I talked to Mr. Carman, I never got anything except the kind of hard-working, earnest, honest response I think you all just got, and I appreciated it. And he's the second waterman that I've ever represented, and there seems to be, I can't speak for the case that preceded us, but I have a great deal of respect for the officers as well as my client and his brethren who were trying to make a living. What got my attention to his plight here, and he's obviously taken responsibility for it, and I guess mistakes get made. What surprises someone who only used to go fishing with his father on a 15-foot MFG and hated every minute of it, sorry, Dad, but what surprises me is the distances that we're talking about in this particular case. I mean, we've got a 50-foot boat, a 40-something-foot boat, and we're talking about 1,500 feet into Virginia waters for a relatively short period of time. And there weren't a lot of oysters on the boat. I looked at what, I looked up and read, is it 283 or whatever it is? It talks about some of the things that you all consider when you come to a decision, damage to the resource, abusive conduct or behavior, disregard, evidence of repeated or, I can't read my own writing, intentional perhaps disregard for the regulation. I don't see that in Mr. Carman, and I don't see it in his testimony here today before you all. And someone who makes, has had some, you know, going back 15 or 16 years, I liken Mr. Carman to a long-distance truck driver who's got a CDL. If his record, if I was talking to a truck driver, and his record was sort of a traffic ticket in Maine in 2001 and a bad inspection in 2005. His total fines for those past indiscretions, and I'm not sure what to what extent they really are concerning the panel, but I think his total indiscretions with regard to crabs, which haven't reoccurred since 2011 apparently, total less about $750, as I recall. So I liken him to someone, if that was a professional truck driver, I would say, man, you got a great record. You do 40,000 miles, 50,000 miles a year. So I don't know if that's how it works in the world of watermen. But I would just hope that given the parameters here and the way he approached Officer Fitchett, the small amount of oysters, and his explanations to you, I would hope that it would not be necessary to revoke his license, matrix notwithstanding. And I heard Mr. Zindran mention a word that my brethren love, which is probation. And I don't know if that's appropriate at this late date or not, but he's had a recent turn in his lifestyle by having to have some more people to be responsible for. I don't think it's getting any easier to be a waterman, and I would ask you to consider either suspending a suspension or putting him on some probation and some terms and see if he can go as long as he has been, 45 years without another oyster violation. Again, I don't speak y'all's language like many do, so I'll submit that as a principle, perhaps, and not a specific request.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Ballard, first.
I think it's important we keep in mind that some months ago we heard from a room full of watermen in this area that we're really having trouble earning ends meet and feeding their families because these rocks were depleted of oysters, and one of their main concerns was people from Maryland coming and taking these oysters, and we heard that time and time again. I will say I think the counselor and Mr. Carman have done a really good job explaining this, and I'm not sure where I stand on it yet, but I think it's important, as we discuss, we keep that in mind, that we told those watermen we would look out to protect their interests and make sure that we were keeping these oysters for Virginia harvesters.
And I'll jump in there 1 second, Mr. Minor, here, because it dovetails exactly with what Mr. Ballard is saying here. That's an area where we've received poor spat sets for any number of years. We need adult oysters in order to make baby oysters, which we need to have more adult oysters to keep the circle going. It's been a tough thing out there. The reproduction has not been what it should be. Every adult oyster is important to us, especially in that area, in order to continue to have a viable commercial fishery in the public rocks in Virginia. So one of that is a way of explanation that half a bushel, 20 bushels, it's all important, especially now and especially in that area. But, Mr. Minor, you had your hand up. Do you want to?
No, I'm just waiting on all the folks to discuss.
Further discussion, Mr. Zedron?
I'll make a motion.
You can probably tell from the last case, I take these offenders serious, and I echo what has been said here. We hear a lot from our own oyster people. As a matter of fact, it's got to the point where I believe their replanting has been affected by, we replant oysters as well. And we have intentionally moved where we replant because of the violations that come from Maryland. But that being said, I think this is a lot different case than the last case we had.
Right.
It's sort of like when we give somebody a suspended sentence, and this is also Judge Moorcock, and then they come right back in here. The last one where the circuit court advised that guy, found him guilty, dismissed his appeal, told him that he's still revoked, and he goes out and gets more convictions right away. That's a different kind of attitude than what this gentleman's got. I don't see any revocations. I mean, what he's got is some, over the years, is some obstructed call rings, exceed the pot limit that he purchased, possession of uncalled crabs. And he's not the kind of guy that's out there with from Maryland coming to Virginia with excessive oyster violations. And I think that's really important, because that's where we're focusing is on oyster violations up in that area. This red ball was a concern to me when the officer testified that, that as they approach, he was able to move the ball back into Maryland. Well, that told me that ball either had to be right there on the line or somewhere, because, and then we hear from the testimony here that the officer actually was already at his boat when that ball was picked up and moved. So that means a lot to me, too. If he'd have stuck the ball 700 feet into Virginia and then tried to scurry the ball back to Maryland, that would have been a different point for me. And, you know, I think, and you guys know that I'm pretty tough on this stuff, and I think we need to send a message, just like I said the last time. But I would think, and I'm going to ask counsel what his opinion on this is that I would be inclined, I believe this guy, and I believe he's a hardworking guy, and but we've got to still send a message. We've got to protect our borders. And I would be in favor of something like a six-month revocation and then a five-year probationary period after that. And that would give him his opportunity to prove himself and also protect our people. That's what I would think would be fair.
Well, I'll answer the legal question on behalf of Kelsey here, is that the maximum duration for a sanction can be 5 years and no more. So if it was 6 months revocation, it would have to be four and a half years
of
probation if you wanted to go that route.
That'd be fine.
But is there some more discussion on this? Mr. Taggart.
Yeah, I just think it is serious, though. The plundering of Virginia oysters is not something that I think was done by mistake. When you throw your ball out and when you tell the officer, well, can I just plead guilty and it'll go away? I think we have a premeditated event here. And I think there needs to be something more than a six-month revocation. I'm sort of thinking 2 years okay. I mean, it's not like he's got plenty of Maryland water to fish from Crisfield, you know. That's my take on it. I say it's premeditated and that we've had problems. And, in fact, you're right. We have declined to replenish this area with shell because we have had so many problems with theft in this area. And I was really sad when Saxis Waterman told us, Saxis and Sanford folks, Deep Creek, said, well, we shouldn't even bother. They're going to steal, the Marylanders are going to steal it anyway. So I'm having a hard time with something less than a two-year revocation. I think you talk about sending a message. This is the type of message we need to send. You come down to Virginia, take our oysters that taxpayers have paid to have put down there at the shell. There's got to be some ramifications that are serious.
Ms. Herskin.
So I just want to first thank the officer for the hard work that's been done in this area. We did hear several months ago that this has been a problem area, for the watermen. I do respect the fact that you said, honestly, you made a mistake, and I understand that. Mistakes can be made. However, I do believe in sending a message and the fact that a revocation is in order. But I would be more inclined to agree with Mr. Zedrin that a shorter revocation period followed by a longer probation period, and the fact that you have demonstrated since 2011 good behavior and abiding by these laws. So I'd be in favor of a six-month revocation. And I would also indicate that you have crab licenses in Virginia, and a six-month revocation is going to be a lot more burdensome. And it won't cover the oyster season, but it certainly would cover the crab season. And I think that does send a pretty strong message.
All right, I would move that we impose a 6 months revocation on all of his Virginia licenses, which would include the crab and otherwise, as we normally do, followed by a 4.5 year probation period.
I second that.
Let me ask for a clarification on the motion here. 6 month revocation for all licenses and tidal fishing privileges.
Yes.
Is that your intent?
Yes.
Followed by 4.5 years of probation.
Yes.
For a maximum sanction period of 5 years.
Yes.
Motion by Mr. Zedron. It's the second by Mr. Minor. Is there discussion on the motion before the commission? Mr. Neal.
Just we can't revoke his oyster fishing privileges because he does none in Virginia. So what the decision is, are you revoking his crabbing privileges for this oyster violation? Exactly. So that's the decision to be made, is what he did worth taking away his right to crab in Virginia.
Well, at this point, we don't have the ability to just revoke the licenses specific to the violation. It's revoking all of his commission-issued licenses, which happen to be only, you know, crabs at this point. So,
well, I'll note for the record that even if you wanted to, you couldn't revoke his Virginia oyster licenses because he's a non-resident of Virginia and is not entitled to an oyster license under state law that dates back, well, about 100 years. So, but I think, in effect, Mr. Neal has summed up what the effective punishment would be that we're discussing here. Mr. Ballard.
I also agree that it's fit because they're both natural resource violations. So while they might be separate species, it's still a natural resource issue, and it's taking the marine resources of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Further discussion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any noes?
No.
No.
No by Mr. Tankard. No by Mr. Ballard. The chair votes aye. So that's a 5-2 vote. 5-2 vote, and the motion passes. So, Mr. Corman, just to sum up here, the commission has just voted to revoke your Virginia licenses and tidal fishing privileges for 6 months, and followed by 4.5 years of probation after that. I think that's a substantial downturn from what the matrix guidelines would have been for 2 years. So there's that. Mr. Moorcott, you did an excellent job.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
The answer is always yes, dear.
The answer is. I'm married. That's one of the few things I've learned in my life.
I really know that.
If you gentlemen will go with the police chief here, he'll give you a letter that spells out your appeal rights, and you have the
can
right
ask
to
a couple questions.
Yes, just to make sure that you understand.
Revocation. I mean, have I got some time to remove my pots and all from the state of Virginia?
We will make sure that that's possible. You need to discuss that with the police chief here. We certainly don't want you in a violation because of a commission decision to revoke your licenses. So, yes. I'm sure the chief will be able to arrange that, make sure that that's okay. As long as you're not harvesting while you're taking your pots up.
Well, just understand that this is not a license that I have. It's an agent.
You're an agent.
Permit, yeah. And a medical permit. It's the only two things I have.
And right.
I just wanted to make sure everybody understood that.
Okay, but just make sure that you understand. This is a six-month revocation of your licenses and your tidal fishing privileges.
Right.
Which means that you cannot participate in any on-water harvesting activity. Your privileges have been revoked as well, and the 4.5 years of probation are explanatory.
Well, I appreciate everything you all have done, and thank you for it.
Okay.
And that means that I can't even go into state and do nothing that's got to do with fishing, commercial fishing.
Not if it has anything to do with on-water harvesting.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate
sir.
It.
Thank you,
sir. Ms. Moorcock, again, you did an excellent job.
Thank you.
They call me that. Staff better not call me that. Hanging judge. Jeez.